Everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Cinemantics, the podcast about movies good and bad, but mostly bad. I'm your host, Nick Melton, and with me today, my guest, Ryan Hauser.
Hey, guys.
And our movie from 2007, directed and starring the one and only Bruce Campbell. This is My Name is Bruce. Let's talk about My Name is Bruce.
Okay, let's talk.
What an amazing movie this was.
It was pretty funny, I have to say. You know, it relies a lot on Bruce's, personality. Of course, the plot is kind of shallow, but what Bruce Campbell film is not.
The plot is about, well, Bruce Campbell. He plays a twisted version of himself, basically, who's perpetually drunk and treats his fans like dirt and is an asshole on set, and nobody likes him or respects him. And he has a really incompetent manager, played by Ted Raimi, who also plays two other roles in this film.
Yep.
And his wife has left him for Ted Raimi. And he's perpetually drunk, and he feeds his dog with liquor, and lives in a trailer, and basically just lives a horrible life.
Yeah, a horrible existence.
Meanwhile, up in the town of Gold Lick, Oregon, which actually looks like it should be in Alabama.
Yeah, it looks like someone
some teenagers are snooping around in eerie Chinese graveyard and unleash Guan Di, the Chinese god of war and protector of bean curd.
Bean curd.
Yes.
One you, one me, one D.
Yes. Guan Di, played by Jamie Peck. I don't know anything else about him other than that, Jamie Peck. Anyway, the one surviving teenager, played by Taylor Sharp, decides that he should call upon his idol, Bruce Campbell, to save them from the monster known as Guan Di, and thus kidnaps him by luring him out of his trailer with a quarter.
Yep.
And takes him to Gold Lick. And that's basically the plot of the movie.
Yep.
It's really very thin as far as plot is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
There is, of course, the obligatory romance with Jeff's mom, Kelly, played by Grace Thornton. Yeah, so
yeah.
With that out of the way, what is there that is awesome about My Name is Bruce?
Well, Bruce Campbell in general. He plays, like we mentioned before, a really twisted version of himself that is self-loathing, but also, you know, it has this contempt for his fans. And, of course, he meets a super fan who calls on him to battle Guan Di.
I think we can start by saying that this movie is basically a gift to genre fans, and fans of Bruce Campbell in particular. I mean, you don't have to have seen Bruce Campbell's movies to be entertained here, but it certainly helps.
Yeah.
There are references everywhere to Bruce Campbell movies.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff's room is just covered head to toe in posters, but that's even more of the, like, obligatory references. They work famous lines from his movies into the dialogue,
mm-hmm.
and the very end, the battle, mono monster.
Yeah, it even starts in the beginning of the movie. I mean,
yeah,
the opening scene, Jeff uses one of the pickup lines that Bruce uses.
Yeah, yeah, the "Give Me Some Sugar, Baby" line from Army of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is really a movie for B-movie fans. And by that token, I was sort of surprised about the way that they handled Guan Di.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they, for a movie from the guy who was in Evil Dead, it's surprisingly not scary or gory in any way whatsoever. I mean,
well, no, but I mean, I think a lot of this film was sort of making fun and trying to parody a lot of those films, and so that, I think that was the point, to make the villain, the ghoul, kind of as ridiculous as possible.
The ghoul was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty neat, but
it was clearly a guy in a suit. He had sort of a robotic sort of look about him,
yes.
though, kind of, especially with the glowing eyes, you know, very, and his big booming voice. But I was actually kind of disappointed that it wasn't more bloody.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as gory as films, say, like Evil Dead 1 or 2, or Army of... Yeah.
Well, Army of Darkness really didn't have any gore in it at all. It, like, it had that stupid geyser of blood coming up from the pit,
mm-hmm.
but it was so unrealistic
yeah.
that... You know, Evil Dead was just deliciously gory. Mm. You know, with the whole pencil in the foot thing.
Well, and the guy only had one move too. We mentioned that in the movie that his only move really is to decapitate everybody he sees.
He doesn't really do more than that. No. But that does result in some hilarity. They try and do what they can with the decapitations. And they even don't decapitate one guy just for a humorous effect.
No.
The sign painter, the town sign painter, also played by Ted Raimi.
Yep.
yeah, that was very, very strange, that character. The weird ethnicities in this town. Like, the town is like presented as one of these places where everyone in it is a redneck and everyone is probably related somehow by blood or marriage.
Right. Which, again, was kind of odd since it was supposed to be set in the Northwest in Oregon.
Yeah, that doesn't really make much sense. But, so they randomly have this... What was his accent, the painter?
It was like an Italian.
An Italian accent. There's no other Italian characters
like
in this movie except for this one guy. And there's the one eccentric Chinese guy,
mm-hmm.
also played by Ted Raimi.
Who eats a lot of
bean curd and replaces his L's with R's, like English, you know.
And gets killed by the Chinese.
Gets killed by the demigod. Chinese demigod for no reason. Like we've mentioned, this movie has no plot.
No, not really.
But I will say that I really want to see Cave Alien 2.
Yes, and 3 and 4.
And so 3 and 4. 3 and 4. Yes, I would greatly enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great movie. I mean, but the biggest thing is if you haven't been exposed to Bruce Campbell before, I would suggest maybe seeing Evil Dead.
Definitely Army of Darkness. I think out of all of the Bruce Campbell movies, at least that I've seen, this one most harkens back to Army of Darkness. It's more slapstick than it is scary.
Mm-hmm.
The villain is clearly just somebody in a costume, you know, the really rubbery hands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of Bruce being thrown into the camera and falling down. And
there's more references to that movie with the boomstick.
That's just the Bruce Campbell movie I think more people have seen, so he was mm-hmm. trying to play off of that.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot a lot of his other works, you know, particularly Bubba Hotep.
I didn't see a single reference to Bubba Hotep in there. Mm-hmm. They mention it a couple of times, and Jeff, the kid, is wearing a Bubba Hotep t-shirt at the beginning of the movie. But the most interesting homage to me is a casting thing that they did, and they had Alan Sandweiss cast to play his ex-wife, Cheryl. She was the original Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't reappear for the sequel. To the best of my memory, but that was kind of cool. I liked that.
Yeah, and then Ted Raimi ends up in her bed. As Bruce's agent.
Who can randomly speak French and German.
And Chinese, yeah. A few different things going on there.
Ted Raimi is a multi-talented man, evidently. He can speak many languages and play ethnic stereotypes very convincingly.
Right. And his big birthday surprise, which Bruce apparently thought this whole time when he was... kidnapped, that originally that was the big birthday surprise.
That's why he goes along with it. Originally, he's kind of pissed off that this fan has kidnapped him, but he thinks that it's just all a big joke.
Right.
Of course, he eventually discovers that it isn't. I mean, come on.
And his real birthday surprise, we find out later, turns out to be a
transgendered prostitute.
He was halfway through her surgeries.
Yeah, let's talk about how subversive this movie kind of is. I mean, everywhere you look, there's some strange thing like the transgendered prostitute or the gay hillbilly hicks who run the gun shop.
I mean, right.
Or the ethnic stereotypes that come out of nowhere, mm-hmm. like Mr. Wing's appearance. His name is Mr. Wing.
Yeah.
And he's unleashed.
The Italian painter. What was his name? Do you remember?
His little name badge said Ted.
Ted, but it was like... It was something different. It was something ethnic, like Luigi. But yeah, there's his name badge is Ted, which was just hilarious.
Yeah, you're like, oh, look, it's Ted Raimi again. Yeah, I mean, like, and there are parts of it set in a strip club and
mm-hmm.
and just
with the stripper
stuff
wearing
like
all her clothes, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a very, very unconvincing stripper mm-hmm. strip club.
But I think the funniest thing, and we both kind of agreed, were the the two homosexual rednecks who own a gun shop. And, one with a t-shirt that says, Got Ammo. And it sort of subtly begins that process of building those two characters. Because at first, you know, they present them in the movie theater and they're kind of holding hands. But then more and more, you get to see their homosexual side. You know?
Well, their relationship, really. Like, mm-hmm. There's that scene where Bruce Campbell comes into the restaurant and he's quote-unquote dancing. Mm-hmm. And by that we mean he's just sort of flailing around the room with the woman.
Oh, right.
Neither of them can really dance, and they're slamming into tables. And
that's how they bond, actually.
Yeah, there's always... I could tell from the very beginning that Grace Thornton was going to be the love interest because she was the only one who didn't, like... cheer for him when he got out of the truck.
Right, and that always seems to be it. It's that love, hate, they've got to have a
point. You know what we're talking about, folks, where the two characters hate each other, so you know they're going to end up together at the end.
There has to be that tension or something for them to overcome.
Yeah. You watch this movie and you just think to yourself, wow, I wonder if Bruce Campbell really is this, like, twisted and inept in real life.
Because he
washes his hair with drain cleaner and...
Right. Drain
evil
cleaner, that's
drain
evil,
cleaner.
Yeah.
I want Evil Dead drain cleaner. And let's see, what else is awesome?
Well, and I wonder, too, I mean, we talked about sort of the somewhat satirical, making fun of some of his movies, with a lot of references to Army of Darkness. You almost wonder if Bruce feels like that's where his career is at right now. He makes a lot of jokes about his career. He's like, hey, see, I made the trays today, and his agent's saying, really? He's like, yeah, check the obituaries. My career's in there. You know,
true. He is, like, one of the biggest, most famous B-movie actors. I don't think I've ever seen him in a big movie. Mm-hmm. Like, ever.
Yeah.
I think that the Evil Dead films are the closest he got. Mm-hmm. He makes cameos in the Spider-Man movies.
Mm-hmm. And there were some jokes about some of his, other movies that weren't too great, like McHale's Navy. He knocks a kid off a bike to steal his bike, run away from... Guandi, and the kid shouts, "McKell's Navy sucked," you know.
And then when he takes the old woman's car, and she says something, "You were the worst part about movie
Moon
title
warp or
Moon Warp," maybe I forget what exactly the title was. Basically, just super self-deprecating humor in this movie,
Which makes it great. I mean,
yeah, it does.
It's
a really funny movie. Let's see here.
And we talked about the slapstick. I mean, of course, Bruce is... I mean, he's got a wit about him, but he's also, he's good with the physical comedy, too. There's a lot of, funny moments in there, like when he's drunk trying to get back into his beat-up trailer.
Yeah.
Falling all over the place.
He's trying to put the key in the keyhole, and he just sort of starts slamming his body against the door, trying to...
Right.
And, like, really? That's not going to work, Bruce Campbell.
One thing that I thought was pretty funny, too, was the ammo shop, there's a lot of references to weapons he used before. They had the 12-gauge shotgun in there, the boomstick. There was the Bruce Campbell 5000.
Oh, yeah, the chainsaw. Yeah, I'm sort of surprised that didn't come back at the end.
Yeah,
you'd think that...
We expected that to come back.
They make this big fanfare about this fan-made, custom-ordered chainsaw, the Bruce Campbell 5000, with this shiny silver chainsaw with this badass gold chain. And he's like, huh, I've used chainsaws a lot over the years, but the one thing you learn is they're just too damn heavy. And then he puts it down, and you never see it again for the rest of the movie. Yeah. And I sort of forgot about it, but I'm just surprised.
Jeff's eyes were welling up with tears.
I'm surprised that it didn't come back at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that would have been a nice way to defeat the creature, particularly at the end. There's sort of a surprise ending, so spoiler alert, The monster survives a TNT blast.
Yeah, you guys should know that since this is a B-movie tribute, you should realize that every stereotype that could possibly exist about a B-movie comes into play at some point in this film. Of course the monster's not going to die, even though, by all realistic logic, it should be dead. Mm. They blow up a fucking mineshaft and it's still alive.
Yep.
So. And then there's that twist ending. Which
that was kind of weird. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, the twist ending was strange, and it sort of throws the rest of the movie. I'm not sure how I felt about it. It was almost along the vein of one of those, it was only a dream plot twists. It sort of negates everything that came before it, and you're not.
Well, because we were led to believe that this was reality, and then it cuts back to saying, "No, okay, this is a film again."
Right, this is a film, and then it suddenly switches back into a film, and then at the very, very end, right before the credits, switches back into reality. Basically, the whole ending just plays with your entire concept of reality. Because
it does.
I suppose on the one hand, they put it in there because Bruce Campbell liked the idea that. Oh, in real life, he's not a douchebag. He thinks that we should make a better movie to respect the fans. Mm-hmm. And then so he makes that the strange 50s suburbia ending, and
right.
then at the very end, oh, Gwandi's still alive.
But he crashes through the movie screen and attacks Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, it's amusing, but it's sort of confusing at the same time.
And there were the really, not montages, but the little musical sequences where they played the...
yeah, I'd forgotten entirely about those. The Gwandi song. The movie opens with this little song where the natives of Gold Lake are singing about Gwandi, and that's sort of your exposition for the movie, even before the graveyard scene mm-hmm. at the very beginning with the kids. They sing the song about how the Chinese laborers came to Gold Lake during the gold rush to help mm-hmm. them with claims, and a mine shaft collapsed and killed 100 Chinese workers, mm-hmm. and Gwandi was summoned to protect the souls of the workers, and somehow they managed to seal him in a tomb or something.
Right, and then Jeff takes the
amulet at the very beginning of the movie, which, by the way, I'm surprised that they never did anything with that. I guess the ending sort of makes that irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean...
like, they didn't resolve the conflict with the amulet.
Not at all.
Then again, since the movie kind of abruptly cuts out for the real ending...
As a matter of fact, you know, there's a hole right there with where the TNT blows up the shack, because they were talking about just trying to get him in there so they could put the amulet back originally. And then they just never mentioned it again.
Right. Bruce Campbell actually just takes it and puts it in his pocket.
In his pocket, right.
Yeah, so he evidently is a thief, too. Well, which wouldn't surprise me, given the way he's portrayed in this film.
I mean, just about every time we see them, he's got, you know, alcohol somewhere around him. There's that scene where he's sitting behind the banner that's, you know, got his misspelled name because they're welcoming him to the town. He's got essentially a whole turkey that he's eaten in, like, 4 or 5 liquor bottles.
And there's that scene where he, his wife requests higher alimony. I think that's the scene. And he goes through his entire trailer and just pulling out bottle after bottle after bottle mm-hmm. after bottle of liquor and just smashing all of them. Mm-hmm. Of course, after drinking them all. Mm-hmm. The music by Joseph Loduca I was paying attention to as well, because parts of it are very cheesy B-movie, you know, synthesizers, clearly mm-hmm. fake instruments, but also parts of it are harkened back to the musical style of Army of Darkness. Like, whenever Bruce actually gets into business mode, like, let's go kick some monster
right.
ass.
Well, when he first appeared in town, you picked out the music for Evil Dead was going?
Or similar to Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. Joseph Loduca wrote the music for the Evil Dead films mm-hmm. and for Army of Darkness, so... I guess it makes sense that they would hire him back here. Let's talk about the direction of the film.
Okay.
Like, Bruce Campbell directed this film, so it was cool to see how he works as a director. Given that this film is a throwback to his Evil Dead work, basically, I was sort of surprised that there wasn't more similar to the Evil Dead movies. Very simple camera work, not a lot of that swooping Raimi cam like in the Evil Dead films. What did you think about that? Do you think maybe... that was a mistake, or did it not really matter because it's its own movie?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it mattered all that much. I mean, there were some shots in there that kind of harkened back to that. I mean, again, it wasn't... Some of the scenes where, you know, Gwandi is, you know, chopping off heads, I mean, they weren't really that gory. They were, I mean, fairly fake, but of course, you know, Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, a lot of the gore in there clearly looked fairly fake, too, but it's more gory overall.
Yeah, I would like to take this moment to clear up some misconceptions about the Evil Dead series. Everyone is always talking about how gory they are. They're not. The first one is. The second one, everyone's like, oh, it's so gory, but it isn't. Mm-hmm. The only time you actually really see blood, it's green, and it's like goop. It's not even like blood, it's just green goop, and it's not realistic at all. There's the part where he chops his hand off with the chainsaw, and red blood starts flying at the screen,
right.
But that's it. Those are the only really two scenes that I can recall with blood in Evil Dead 2, and as I previously mentioned, in Army of Darkness, there's only that fountain that comes out from the pit, and there's no more blood at all in the movie. People seem to think that Evil Dead, or the Evil Dead series, is like this giant extravaganza of gore, but it really isn't. I mean,
and they make fun of it in this movie, too, at the very beginning when he's making Alien...
Cave Alien 2?
Cave Alien 2, and he shoots the alien after shooting it, 100 times?
With fake lasers.
And finally he spews this...
That was one of my favorite parts of the movie, the filming of Cave Alien 2.
And you could see him, like, dumping more blood with a bucket on his face.
Yeah, and it's like, it's clearly guys in rubber suits, and mm-hmm. when the camera zooms in on the bullet holes in the aliens, it's like, oh, wow, that's not cloth. Mm-hmm. You know, cloth suits with, like, little fountain, like, little hoses shooting out this cheesy-looking... That scene has more blood than Army of Darkness in it.
Yeah.
Like, combine that one scene.
But, you know, one thing I liked about the direction, and you know, clearly Bruce, because he was the director, had a lot of freedom, you know, making this film. So it seemed like there was a lot of ad-lib stuff in there.
Yeah, we were talking about how he probably ad-libbed like 85% of his lines. Mm-hmm. We can't verify that right now, but it just felt like...
genuine Bruce.
And like genuine Bruce, not so much... or it could be that maybe he's just so good at playing with his public persona that he can just slide into it and act like it whenever he wants. I mean, he is... he does have a very revered stature within the cult movie world, and he does have a very special relationship with his fans. I don't think any other B-movie actor could pull off having a movie about themselves being made, unless it was like a biopic, but this wasn't.
Let alone making fun of themselves.
Yeah, like, this whole movie is about his public persona, and, you know, someone who takes it a bit too far. I don't think any other actor could really claim to have that sort of impact.
And you've read his autobiography, his book...
If Chins Could Kill.
Right. I mean, is there any, you know, indication of his personality being somewhat like the movie, or...?
Well, he doesn't write the book like a douchebag. He has that very wry sense of humor that he has in most of his other movies. But no, he's not really that mean. He's just mean in this movie, at least
particularly toward his fans, and
particularly toward the
fans. He feels like his career is washed up, and it's somewhat his fans' fault. But you know, speaking of Bruce Campbell's actual career, I mean, what has he done other than this lately? You're the big Bruce Campbell,
the Bruce Campbell
fan.
You know, I don't know what he's done recently. I mean, this came out in 2007, so it's only been a few years.
That's true.
This is his second directorial film. He directed The Man with the Screaming Brain, which didn't do so well critically. I don't know if it did very well commercially either. Probably not. I imagine only Bruce Campbell fans, really big ones, saw it. I haven't seen it yet. And I didn't even realize that My Name is Bruce was already out, so...
I thought this movie was really appropriate, probably, for his career's out, kind of making fun of, you know, he's this B-list movie actor like we were talking about, and this huge... the guy's got to have a little bit of an ego. I'm sure he's probably not a douchebag like he is in the film, but...
This movie raises some interesting questions. Like, how would you behave if you ever met Bruce Campbell? I mean, like, you wouldn't know what you'd be getting if you ever met him. Is he going to... Does he really feel this way towards his fans? Like, I could imagine someone acting all really cool and then really just being kind of fed up with it. So, if I ever meet Bruce Campbell, I'm going to be a little cautious. But... one thing that I didn't like about this film, well, I mean, we sort of touched on this earlier, was that Guan Di feels a little underused.
Yeah, he just doesn't have much personality.
He's cool looking. He's got that cool scythe and the cool robot face and stuff, but he doesn't do anything. He pops up every now and then and slices someone's head off.
Pretty much has the same move, except for maybe one.
That's the only thing he does, and they don't really explain his mythology very well.
Which we found out, of course, that Guan Di is actually a real Chinese god of war. You know, that's all actually accurate in the movie. Apparently the movie also portrays him to be the patron
saint of bean curd.
Bean curd.
You know, I'd be pissed too if I were stuck in Gold Lake, Oregon.
Yeah, in a cave.
I mean, the most we can really say about it is that it's an affectionate tribute to B-movie fans and fans of Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get out. You know, anything out of this film unless you've seen Bruce Campbell's work or you're a fan.
Or you have an affection for these sort of low-grade monster movies.
If you're going into it expecting how would you describe it, a real deep plot or anything like that, or some type of movie that's going to draw you in, not going to find it with My Name is Bruce.
But I personally enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a great, fun film.
Well, anyway, Ryan, last final thoughts on My Name is Bruce.
Great film.
If you like B-movies.
If you like B-movies, if you love Bruce Campbell, you'll love it. You know, again, I would just say if you haven't seen the movie and are planning on it, maybe see Bubba Hotep. Definitely see Army of Darkness.
Definitely see all the Evil Dead movies. They're probably a bit more popular now with the success of Sam Raimi's other movies, Spider-Man movies, Drag Me to Hell. I'm sure people are going to go out there.
And Bruce does cameos in those movies.
Yeah. He's not in Drag Me to Hell, but he's in the Spider-Man movies. So I think that people are probably going to go out and see those a little more. But even if you've already seen it, and even if you know everybody else is going to go see it anyway, I'm still going to say, go see it. Yeah, so I guess that's all about to say. On my end, as a Bruce Campbell fan, I enjoyed it. It was a funny movie. Sort of disappointing in areas. I felt that the main monster, was underused and a little bit not fleshed out, a little one-dimensional. It had that kind of unsatisfying ending that I wish they'd done a little more with.
Yeah, it almost seemed to me like they weren't even quite sure where they were going to go with it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not entirely a waste of time. I certainly thought it was worth seeing. So, yeah, My Name is Bruce, 2007, directed and starring Bruce Campbell. Anyway, you've been listening to Cinemantics, the podcast about movies good and bad, mostly bad. I am Nick Melton.
And I'm Ryan Hauser.
Catch you folks next time.